Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello there.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to move off analysis and getting toward making offers. Get out of your own head and get some offers out there, right, Jill?
Before we get into it,
let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Cool. All right. Chip asks, hi, all. In my data scrub criteria, I'm filtering for 0% improvement value, but I'm still getting records that have homes. Is this because I also have SFR, single family residence, as one of my filter criteria? Jack does this in the program, and it should pull all SFR zoned properties that have yet to be improved. It seems to be happening in multiple counties. Is anyone else experiencing this? Thanks in advance, Chip. All right, Jack, this is you.
PhD level question, and Chip, thanks for asking. All data is different. That's the answer. What he's really talking about is when you take an assessor's database through RealQuest Pro, everything's lined up in nice columns for you. So, and they're nice enough to extrapolate the assessor data and look at assessed value in three columns. Number one column, the land value. So the land is assessed at a certain value. Number two, the improvement value, the stuff that's been done to the properties that, like build a house, put some roads in, that's assessed at a certain value. And then the third column is the total of those two. You would think that if the assessed value for improvements is zero, there are none. And that's the vast majority of the time that's the case. However, it's the real world. In the data world, it'd be beautiful if everything was just perfect and it lined up, but it just doesn't happen that way. In the real world, stuff happens. People don't pull permits, they build stuff, they do all kinds of stuff to their property without telling the county, and the county never knows. The assessor doesn't physically look at every single property in the county. It's not possible. So you have to test this for reason, and there's lots of different ways to do that. It's so far beyond the scope of this show.
Well, I came up with two things, and I'm right there with you.
But you'll never get it to zero, let me tell you that. You'll never get data so that it's perfect, but man, you will come close. Jill, what are you two? You're two.
No, I was going to say two. Yeah, number one, yeah, like you just touched on, some structures are not always properly conveyed to the county. Like, you know, who's going to want to do that? Hey, by the way, my house is worth X. You need to assess it this way. No, we're not going to do that, everyone, because then your taxes go up, right? So, then the other thing is people make mistakes too sometimes, you know.
The county
individuals are real people. So have I seen mistakes done by county individuals? Heck yes. You know, so every once in a while that comes up too.
That's a good point. You know, I read a stat a few years ago when this whole the mortgage crisis was happening in this country, and there's something like 25 or 30% of all the mortgages that are done and completed and people are paying now, they have like errors.
Yeah.
Math errors, like the payment that you're making is incorrect. So yeah, people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. 25% high. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestorsnow.com. This is the meat of the show. Today's topic, moving off analysis and getting to making offers. Jill, this was your title, which I manipulated a little bit. Thanks for the creative license. I mean, what do you think this really means?
Well, where I was going is I see a lot of people they get to a point in this process when they're overanalyzing and they're spending too much time and checking this and checking that. And do I have this right? Did I pick the right county? Am I pricing these correctly? Instead of just getting some offers in the mail. And so I'm trying to figure out where the hang-up is, and I wanted to talk to you about this to help everyone to get from, you know, now knock it off. You're spending too much time, because I do that. I swear I talk to people and I say that flat out, knock it off, you know, and get a stupid offer in the mail. And so what if it's wrong? You know, you'll figure some stuff out. Just get moving. You know, and so many times we just had a consulting the other day with a member of ours, and bless her heart, she downloaded, you know who I'm talking about, a ton of data. And I said, hold, you know, and I want to make sure she knew that, hey, none of this is bad. You're going to use all this. This is good stuff. You know, you're going to learn a lot from this, and good for you for even pushing the button,
yeah.
You know, and getting this far. And she's like, I can't wait to get in something in the mail. I said, that's great. You know, and
so you mean like analysis paralysis?
Totally.
Yeah. You know, if anybody's guilty of this, it's me.
I mean, you think so?
I mean, not anymore about this. I can't wait to get this stuff in the mail, by the way, these days. But, you know, when you and I are looking for a new house, you know, how much work goes on? You tell our listeners how awful it is to deal with my analysis of anything.
Yeah, good point.
So,
I'm like, this will work. Let's go. This will work. Okay, how about that? You're like, what? Like, I'm like, this will work. Let's do it. I'm happy.
My point is, if you're an analytical person, and hopefully you are, but the vast majority of our members really are, they're pretty slow to pull the trigger. But when they do, they're confident. You know, mm-hmm. That's the way I build my confidence. I'm like, you know what? I've hit the line now, and I'm ready to pull the trigger on whatever it is. That's okay. But there's a handful of people that it takes, you know, they've waited 2 years.
Oh, yes.
So that's got to be something else. That's got to be like, oh, man, what if I fail or some other stuff? So, I mean, between the two of us, you're the inspirational one. What do you tell? What do you say to people like, you know, that are really just stuck, frozen, let's say?
Well, just to set goals, I tell them to slow this whole thing down. Let's figure out easy goals, because it can be overwhelming, because if that's part of it, maybe they have a day job and they're trying to get from A to Z and really fast. And sometimes they get hung up on that whole process, you know, and looking too far ahead. So I tell them, let's just do a piece at a time, a step at a time, and set some goals, and don't back down. Hold yourself accountable. That's huge. And I always tell too, you know, go slower than you think. Give yourself a cushion, and then you're going to be okay. Because if you try to push it sometimes, then it's worse. And, you know, you don't want to dive in and not do your homework. But there's a fine line to overdoing it, you know. And so does that help? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, I see what I see from a consultant, from a, you know, when I look at deal review. On Wednesday, when people call and I review their deals or I review their data to help them, what I see is people microscopically or myopically looking at their data sort and saying, did I scrub it down enough? And what they're in there on a 1,500 unit or a 3,500 unit offer campaign, you know, for some reason, there's this efficiency thing that goes on with this, with our group, which I think is a super healthy thing. You want to have everything as efficient as possible, but they spend a disproportionate amount of time at the end trying to scrub it to perfection. When in the, like the caller today or the question today was about, yeah, there's some houses. There are some data. There are a few line items in my data that contain houses. Well, so what?
Yeah, you're right.
What's the
worst
that's going to happen? Let's say you send out of a 1,500 unit mailer, you made a few slight errors, and there's going to be 100 letters that go out, and people shouldn't have gotten them. There's houses on the property. So what? So mm-hmm. A couple of them call back and call you a bad name. I don't care about that. It's you.
Mm-hmm. Or even just explain to them, Mom, I didn't realize that. You know, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and congratulations, because you're obviously assessed really low or whatever it is.
Yeah, there you go. It turned into a positive thing. So
yeah, good for you.
I don't know why. It's not that important to me to save, you know, if I send 50 extra letters out or 100 extra letters out and I spend $50 on it or $25 more in postage, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to way make that up just on one deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think it is. It's just trying, and it's mostly men. I don't see it with women too much, but men just try to make everything so streamlined and perfect and unemotional. You know, Dan, and I know that because I'm a guy.
I can see that. That trying to just try to get to the end kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, this, you know, I'm done. The mailer is perfect. The data is perfect. I'm going to send it now. It's perfect. And that doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah, I want people just to push the button. You know what I think? You should almost push the button. Like we talk about things being taped together. You know, we joke about, you know, we're starting a company or I'm trying to think of another good example. You should feel a little uneasy, like you're doing a little too early, you know, and that's good and that's healthy. So you don't want to be on the other side of that going, well, I've done every possible thing. I've looked this over for 6 months. Now I'm ready. You know, I know I've gone through every last one, you know, and one thing too, I've caught people doing this, looking at some of the data and the properties beforehand. And you should not do that. Remember, do your due diligence afterwards, not before. That's, you don't, shouldn't be going line by line on your mailer before you send it out. Well, even this one right here, who's chipped the question today, how does he know that unless he looked at it?
Yeah.
You know, so
how does he know that?
Uh-huh.
You should know there's a house on there.
Yeah.
Jill, you're absolutely right.
I could care less what about the property until the person calls me back or sends a signed offer back. And now I know we can do some business together. There's a possibility of doing business. Other than that, it's a waste of my time.
I mean, here's how it works really in the real world. So once you get the first mailer out and somebody signs it and they send it back, and you're buying a piece of property that's worth 10 grand for $1,000. All this goes away. So all these questions are from people who are this is the first time they've ever done it. I don't mean they're new to real estate. I just mean it's the first time they've ever sent the offer campaign out like this.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do it, you just forget it. You forget all of this. You're like, oh, thanks. It did work. I didn't completely screw it up.
Totally. Well, and
go ahead.
I say, just like we told our gal the other day about this data, you know, I'm like, this is not a waste of time. This is not a waste of money. One transaction is going to pay for this whole thing. And she's like, you know, you're right. I said, yep.
Times 80.
Exactly. So
I mean, literally almost.
You can't think about that. You have to dive in.
Yep.
So, you know, really, I was trying to think on what other business on the planet can you start with this low of an entry point? I mean, really?
There's none. Even insurance to get licensed and all that stuff. I used to use insurance as just, I don't like insurance. I think it's awful and I think it's a conspiracy, but that's a whole different topic. But I used to use it as a model where it's the perfect business. You know, you collect a bunch of stuff every month, a bunch of money from people every month, and you really give them nothing. You give them a little bit of peace of mind. But even now, I mean, it's real saturated. You have to market a lot and the whole thing. So it's like insurance agents are equivalent to like meter maids in my head.
I hear you. Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
And you know what? To their credit, they don't make the laws. You know, they're just working within the system. But come on.
I know. It's how I feel about credit scores. But anyway.
No, oh my
conspiracy.
God, do a show. Awful careers. That's
what my gosh.
Go, you know what? What the hell? Listen right now. Where can't you stand? Get it off your chest. Go.
Credit card companies.
Oh, credit card companies?
Oh my gosh. I hate them. Who does? And the whole credit score thing drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's a conspiracy. Insurance is a conspiracy. We don't need auto dealerships any longer. Tesla, you know, Elon Musk has it right. There's no auto dealerships. You go online and get your car.
We should not have 80,000 licenses. Like I need a license to be a barber,
okay,
or maybe cut hair, dog hair. I bet you have to be a license for that.
While we're at it, why do we need real estate agents?
Why do we need meter maids?
Okay, I'm trying to one up every single time here. You're one upping me. What else do we need? Why do we need parents?
Oh, there we go. Oh no. Oh my goodness.
Why do we need VAs? That's my question.
Oh goodness.
I've taken out what looks like now to be almost a decade of my career, eliminating all the back office function for every real estate office on this planet.
You know what? I got to throw one more thing in here and then we cut. This is all that I have on this. With the VA thing, if I'm going to outsource something, it's not going to be another country. And that's what I have to say about that too.
Wow. The email, I'm going to get over this.
Oh, here it comes.
I agree with you. It's not the other country piece. It's just you get what you pay for.
Well, yeah, but I mean, keep it here.
Oh, all right.
I'm not saying anything bad about people in other countries. I'm just saying, can we keep the money here?
Sure, I like your kahunas today.
Thank you.
Sounds like something I would say.
Thank you. All right, did we cover this? I think we got it. So yeah, don't
get the stuff in the mail. Make some mistakes. It's going to be fine.
You'll
join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
And inspiration. That's me.
Just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. Good show, Jill.
Oh my gosh, was I over the line?
No.
Okay.
I agree with you. You know, there's a huge, huge push nationally, like on a macro level, to put stuff back into this country. And I agree. I think for a while it was really great to get some stuff that's super cheap, but it's out of control now.
It is.
It is for me anyway. I don't care. I'll pay twice as much to know anything will get done. I just ordered some home improvement stuff here in Arizona. I know we're in different states right now. Mm-hmm. And I intentionally did not try to find the cheapest person, which is a little bit unusual for me. But I wanted to see this guy's work, and I wanted to talk to a couple of people he's done stuff with, and it all checked out perfectly. And it's probably 30% more than it really should be, but I know it's going to get done right. So that's it.
You know, I'm with you. I'm deliberately seeking not only here in the U.S., but even local to me. You know, I'm working on some Jill Live stuff, and I'm picking a service to help answer phones that's literally down the street where I can walk in, talk to them, and sit down and have a conversation, you know, and that's important to me. I can really make sure it's done right.
Someone's going to answer your phone. If you send a bunch of offers out and people call back, and someone's going to answer your phone, that's a critical point in the transaction. And you don't want somebody who doesn't know what the heck they're doing. So
exactly.
You should pay a little bit more for that. You did it that far, right? I mean, you put the stuff in the mail, you got the data, you joined our group, you're serious about it. The person that you hired to answer the phone better know what they're doing.
Exactly.
And if they don't, here's the key. You got to, just what you said. Now they're accountable. They're down the street. And they better see you come flying through the door if stuff goes sideways.
And I will.
If that happens, will you film it, please?
Yeah. Right.
I love it. Like
you got it.
Every time you yell at the kids, I want to make some popcorn and just sit down and watch.
You do love that. Here she goes. Watch this.
You know what? Because it's always me.
Oh, no, it's not. That is. Oh, it's always you doing it, not me at you. Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, that's true.
No, yeah. It's always me. I have to put everybody in line. When you do it's just like, oh, I get the day off today.
There you go. Once a month.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.